Before you apply for any cards, make sure you know about rules like Chase's 5 over 24 rule that says if you've opened 5 or more cards in the last 24 months, you will be rejected on your next application. If tracking rules like this sounds overwhelming, then the Travel Freely app is here to help. The app has many incredible features, including a 5 over 24 tracker and personalized offers based on your current cards. Download the app for free by using the link in the show notes. Thank you to Travel Freely for partnering with us on this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
That Japan Airlines first class flight that we did as a family of four, it would have been $55,000 just for the one way. And I mean, it's definitely an amazing experience, but we would have never spent that kind of money. I mean, we don't, you know, unless you're like an ultra billionaire, I don't think most people are going to spend that much money on one flight.
Even as a billionaire, I don't think that would happen.
Maybe even then.
Hey there, points people. Alexis and Berto created the World Travel Adventurers website to share their passion for adventure by using points and miles. They have saved more than $500,000 in the last 5 years thanks to award travel. As they explore the world with their kids, they share tips for experiencing luxury for less and inspire their audiences to make their own dream vacations a reality. In this episode, Alexis, Berto, and I discuss how they got started with points and miles, how to travel full-time with children, and how they grew their channel and now get to partner with brands such as Alila, Park Hyatt Maldives, and Walt Disney World for hosted stays and sponsored content. While $500,000 of savings might seem unrealistic, sometimes the key is just knowing where to look for the redemptions that really optimize the value of each point. In the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon, we have recorded masterclasses on redemption sweet spots, such as how to fly to Hawaii for $75 worth of points, where to find award space for hard-to-find awards like Q Suites, and how to get up to 8 business class flights off of 2 credit card signup bonuses. Check out the link in the show notes to join the Patreon and access these recordings so that you can make the most out of your points as well. And now, on with the show. Hey, Alexis. Hey, Berto. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hi. Hey, thank you so much for having us.
Yep, thank you.
Of course. I am so excited to have you here and to learn all about your guys' journey because you guys have been featured on places like Yahoo Finance and Reuters, and you've had some amazing partnerships with Hyatt Hotels and Walt Disney. But before we get into all of that, let's start at the very beginning. How did you even get into the world of points and miles?
It's been over 10 years. At the time, I was sitting on a tremendous amount of American Express points, hotel points, and you know, we're getting ready to start a family, but we still wanted to keep on traveling and we wanted to be something that's sustainable, you know, because most people, they will do it, you know, and then just stop for a while and then do it. But we just wanted to keep on doing it from, you know, the travel experiences, because she'll come along with me on some of those business trips. So that's when the idea started, you know, coming in like, hey, is there any way to be able to do this thing without going broke, essentially? And that was the seed. And part of it was just kind of like researching, you know, the ways to maximize the points. Because to me, the accumulating the points is the easiest part. You know, I mean, for us, it's the easiest part. You know, if you come up with a strategy and you kind of discipline, you can make it happen. But the tricky part is the redemption. And that's kind of how we started it. And, you know, it's been quite a journey. And here we are 10 years later.
And you said you were sitting on a big pile of American Express points. Was that through work or how did you get those points?
So essentially the way we did was by lining, you know, stacking up the offers. These were the times where American Express was dishing out, you know, 100,000 points here and there. So we had the, you know, platinum card, the business card, the gold card, you know, we pretty much had everything, you know, from American Express. So that was kind of one of the ways that we started just accumulating all those points. And also by charging business expenses, you know, on the card.
Yeah, he did used to travel a fair amount,
you know,
for work.
The pandemic.
Yeah, until the pandemic halted everything. So, you know, because he was traveling a lot for work back then, he was also just earning a lot of, you know, points and miles that way too. So figure out how to use these for our family. Mm-hmm. you know, because we, you know, and then you see some of these like amazing experiences that people are doing, flying first class and business class, things that, you know, we wouldn't want to spend out of our pocket $10,000-$20,000 for a flight. Right. But if you can do it, you know, for like $50 or less by using miles, then absolutely, let's do it. Let's experience it.
Absolutely.
And when you were first starting with points and miles, were there any silly mistakes that you made where you just want to tell listeners, hey guys, don't make the same mistake we made?
Woo. I know, I asked him that question because I was like, what, you know, what did, I know we did some stuff. I remember him telling me like one point when he didn't know like anything that I think he used some of our Amex points for like magazine subscriptions. I was like, really?
I would drop 25,000 AMX points here and there, you know, for some silly magazine. You know, I mean, that same 25,000, it can take us, you know, it can take one person to Europe, you know. So it was just, you know, silly mistakes or just, you know, the thing, you know, most of us have done, using the miles, you know, to cover for charges. I mean, it's not always a bad thing, you know, but it's not always the best return, you know. So for anybody who wants to really stretch those points, to really take it to the next level, it's a big no. You know, so it was some of those things, some magazine subscriptions.
You are actually not the first person I've heard of. We've also heard of various other people who earn millions of points and miles a year and are considered experts in this field who, way back in the day, also used their points for magazine subscriptions. So I feel like that happens to some of us, but we grow out of it.
Exactly.
It's funny because then once you learn how to maximize them, it's like, cringeworthy to think that you know, used it for something like that when you could instead use it for some amazing experience. Mm-hmm. But
And so 10 years ago, this was before 5 over 24, right?
Yes. You know, those were the glorious days, you know, just apply for the card, you know, you could get the bonus, you could do what you need to do, get past the card, apply another time, you know, it was really good. I mean, as we go along, they've been cracking down a lot of things, you know, American Express with the whole, you can't have this, the bonus anymore and kind of chase more than one. So yes, those were the days and they still can be the day, but you know, the days, you know, but it just takes some planning.
Adjusting, right? And you adjusting. Know, when they have like the new rules that kind of change things, you just have to figure out another way to get where you want to go.
There's always a way. You know, whatever there's a will, there's always a way. That's the way we looked at it. You know,
that's a good way to look at it. Mm-hmm. So when you had like a pretty good feel for how points and miles worked and how to travel for free, what was next? Like, did you keep doing this as your kids were growing up because you just started a family and you were traveling around with infants, or how did that go in the next phase?
Yeah, I mean, our kids, I remember it was so funny getting passports for them and they were just like, tiny babies, like they couldn't even hold their heads up yet. And it was such a process to get their passport pictures because they were like, well, you can't hold them. I had to like lay them on like a white sheet and they came over and took them. But yeah, so they started traveling like, you know, immediately. And yeah, I mean, we've taken them to so many places and I think it's just such an important part of education for the kids to be able to expose them to different cultures, different countries, things that, you know, not a lot of Americans are doing, you know, a lot of, you know, Americans kind of stay within the U.S., which is awesome too. We love to do that too. But I think there's something, you know, special about being able to travel internationally to kind of introduce them to things they've never seen before. So yeah, it was just like, you know, we saved up our points and just figured out ways to travel with the family. Like we both have the Southwest Companion Pass. So, you know, our kids can fly for free with us whenever we travel anywhere Southwest goes. So that's been awesome because then, you know, it's like half price. And then of course we use our points for our tickets. So we've saved tons of money there.
It's really opened the doors to so many incredible experiences.
And so I think so many families think that, or, you know, maybe even people before they have kids think that once they have kids, that they don't get to travel anymore. And so that's just something that we love. Kind of showing families like, no, you don't have to stop traveling when you have kids, like keep traveling. And yes, there may be challenges along the way but you know, it's so worth it and it's possible. And using points and miles, you can make your travel budget go so much further than, you know, if you were just paying, you know, money for these experiences.
Absolutely. So.
Outside of money, what do you think is one of the biggest challenges to traveling with children? And how do you guys, how would you advise other families who are maybe afraid of traveling with kids to address that challenge?
Wine helps.
Oh, I mean, I would say sometimes like the, like if you're, you know, for international, long international flights can be challenging, especially when they're little. And that's where like, you know, being able to use points or miles to fly like business class. I mean, our kids have flown business class and even first class. We flew first class to Japan, to Tokyo from New York. And so that was like a 14-hour flight. It would have been challenging. Like, you know, I think our son was like, what, 3 at the time, I think. And he's a high energy kid. So I think he would have been like probably running up and wanting to run up and down the aisle or something. But we had this like life flat bed where he could sleep, and you know, he had his own little TV. He could watch cartoons and play games and stuff. So they loved it. So I would say, yeah, like the long haul international flights can be challenging. So if you're able to, you know, use the points and miles to get in like a premium cabin, it makes it so much easier. But if you're not, you know, I mean, we fly economy as well, not always business class. And so I would say like make sure you have tricks to like, we let them bring their iPads on, you know, flights to keep them
busy,
occupied. So they're not.
And the other thing is, you know, once you start traveling with kids, you just, it's kind of humbling. You know, because there's only so much control you have. You know, obviously we try to make sure we get ahead of any potential issues and kind of address it before, you know. And by the way, do not give, what was that?
Benadryl. Do not give your child Benadryl to try to knock them out on a flight. We did that once. It was his idea. Well, actually, our pediatrician, I told her we were going on this trip, and she's like, well, yeah, you know, you could try Benadryl. It might make him sleep. And so we're like, okay. So she's like, but test it out before you go.
So this is in Utah.
And so we did. We tested it out before, and he was just fine. It like made him sleep. So yeah, we were getting ready to this long flight. So we were like, okay, let's like, because he was like really, really active at that time, like just wild. And so we gave him the Benadryl, and he had like an opposite reaction. He was like he was on drugs, like a little maniac. Like it was, oh my gosh, it was crazy. Like I remember the flight attendant was like, did you like, I think she knew. She's like, did you give him like Benadryl or something? Cause she used to be a nanny. So she like had seen it before, I guess. And I took him up to change his diaper at the front of the plane. And he got out the bathroom before me and ran the entire aisle so fast. I couldn't even catch him. He was just like a little maniac. It was bad.
That's probably the number one tip that people are going to get out of this is don't give your kid Benadryl. It could be like giving them caffeine.
Yeah, definitely. Oh,
that was
a big mistake.
You know, it's like from Utah, you know, 5 hours, you know, so
yeah.
It was something.
Yeah, luckily it wasn't like that 14-hour flight. Although he probably would have passed out eventually.
Speaking of 14-hour flights, what's the best trip that you guys have gotten to take on points and miles?
And I mean, that's hard to say. Like we've done the Maldives twice on points and miles. And we did that both times, just the two of us. And so we did Emirates first class to the Maldives on the A380, which had like the shower and the stand up bar. It was amazing. And then we did like a stopover in Dubai one of the times. And then we went to Oman the second time, cause it's like right there. And it was amazing. And then we stayed at the Park Hyatt Maldives using our Hyatt points.
There's been so many. I mean, we don't want to seem snobby or anything, but we've been very blessed and fortunate. There's been so many, you know, great experiences. Just like we said, you know, the whole points traveling, it's opened the door to such incredible experiences, you know. So it's almost like the sky is the limit, you
yeah.
know. It's, as long as you plan, you know.
Oh, Bora Bora is another one. We went to Bora Bora a few years ago. Yeah. The Conrad Bora Bora Nui, which is amazing. So we used our Hilton points, and then we have the Hilton Aspire. So, you know, we had like a credit and we got free breakfast because we were Hilton Diamond from that card, and an upgrade to like a really nice villa and everything. So it was, that was that was probably one of our best trips too, because it's, I'd say it's the most beautiful place in the world.
When you're planning for one of these trips, how long does it take you to earn the points to get another one? Let's say, okay, we used up all of our points on Bora Bora. Next year, we want to go to Maldives. How long does it take you to get those cards, and what kind of strategy do you guys use?
So, you know, obviously, because of the fact that we're traveling as a family, planning is a huge part of it. And being able to be in a position of flexibility, meaning, you know, we don't just go, for example, for like Delta Miles points or, you know, a specific hotel or airlines, you know, in terms of points. So we, you know, the strategy has always been to kind of put the most bang in the buck, you know, for, you know, transferable programs or like the kind of programs, you know, that allow, you know, members of a household to share points. You know, with Hilton, for example, you can pool points. You know, with Chase Ultimate Rewards, you know, for example, you can, you know, members of the same household, you can transfer, you know, instantly. You know, so that's where we tend to put the most attention. And essentially, the planning is always starting with the end goal. You know, that's like the engineering part. It's essentially like putting a puzzle. You know, you don't just go and start applying for a bunch of cards, you know, all of a sudden or randomly because, you know, A, you know, you might lock yourself out. You know, you might miss out on future offers and you may lose on the flexibility piece, which is key. You know, I mean, obviously traveling for one person, it's easy to plan. Two people, you know, it's easy to do. Three and four, it's really hard, you know. Harder. You know, it's definitely harder. So to your question, the first question, you know, we sit on millions of miles, you know, but how do we, you know, go about doing it? We, you know, we do that whole two-player strategy. You know, we kind of watch the time like, hey, when was the last time, you know, for example, you know, you had this Chase card? When was the last time you had this thing? So we got to make sure that we either downgrade the card or move on to another card so that your timer can start going in, you know, so that for the 2 years you can apply again for the card. And meanwhile, while we're doing it, hey, what's going on with Citi? You know, hey, what's going on with, you know, this different guys? You know, because at the end of the day, when we start doing a redemption, let's say I look on American Airlines, they will have like maybe two seats. I look on British, they may have more. So I'll try to kind of plot that way, you know, using points from different programs to piece everything together. It's quite a process, but it's feasible. You know, again, at the end of the day, you know, you look how much you save, you know, and you kind of balance by saying, hey, if I'm just organized, if I'm, you know, strategic about how we go about doing this thing, then this is what we can do. But the end goal, I think the one of the ways that we've been so successful is because we start with the end and then make our way backwards.
They're like, okay, if we're going to be staying at the Park Hyatt Maldives again, like we know we either need Hyatt points or we can, you know, get our Chase points and transfer them over. So like, you know, is there an offer right now that's going to get me, you know,
yeah, that much closer? And meanwhile, you know, while we're doing this thing, it's almost like a series, you know, because while we're doing this thing, we're already planning the next trip. So it's just things are always in motion, you know, that way.
I mean, we typically do plan our trips like a year out in advance. Mm-hmm. The pandemic has thrown a lot of wrenches like in our normal strategies because everything is just constantly changing. Like we actually were going to go back to Bora Bora this summer because we're celebrating our 15th anniversary this summer. And we just wanted to go back because it's so beautiful. And so we had like almost so everything. I had a ton of stuff lined up. And then, you know, they shut down completely for all tourism. And then they opened back up, but then they were saying, you know, there's like a 10-day mandatory quarantine for unvaccinated travelers where our children are not vaccinated. Mm-hmm. They cannot get vaccinated. They're too young. So then we're like, oh my gosh. So we canceled that trip because we're like, we don't want to have to quarantine in a hotel room.
There's no point.
For 10 days, you know? So we canceled that. And then we're like, okay, let's do Maldives because that's easier. You know, the restrictions are different. So yeah, we've had to be more flexible lately with trying to plan around all the crazy changing restrictions, but.
Right.
Yeah, we typically start planning
a
year in advance.
You know, and a good case in point, you know, it's you know, right now, if you look at redemptions for Hilton, you know, the Conrad in French Polynesia, it's a bit insane. You know, you see a lot of 500, you know, 472,000. We still have a bunch of, you know, the standard rates.
Yeah, we got it for 80,000 a night, the lowest rate, but now it's like, I mean, the only way you can get that rate is if you're looking to book like the next, then in, within the next week, which who can, I mean, I guess some people can travel like that, but especially if you're doing it with as a family, it's harder to just pick up and go like a few days later. But
so planning is big, you know, I kind of answer your question or summarizing your question. Planning is huge, you know, especially, you know, as a family, you really have no other choice to plan ahead. If you want to be able, you know, to, if you want to be in a position where, you know, A, you can choose what you want, what works for you, what works for your schedule, and also be able to kind of have it at rates that make sense to you. You know, there's nothing that hurts more than, you know, if, for example, you had a booking that will have required 100,000 miles in, you know, premium cabin, and then all of a sudden, you know, because you wasted some time, it's like 300,000. That hurts.
Yeah. Planning is definitely key. So let's talk about, you not only get to travel for free on points and miles, but you also have gotten to do some amazing partnerships with different travel brands through your blog, World Travel Adventures. Can you talk about how you got into the sponsored travel, how you got to partner with these brands? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, so, you know, we've been visiting a lot of these amazing resorts just on our own through our points and miles. And so then, you know, you start to kind of develop a relationship. Like, we do go to a lot of the same resorts more than once because it's just like a really great value redemption, like the Park Hyatt Maldives. And so, you know, a lot of times, like, they are interested if you are, you know, you're providing essentially a lot of exposure to their brand. And so, like, on some, like, I think the first two times, like, we still paid for our room with our points and miles, but then they would kind of throw in some extra things like, okay, here's a massage or here's some meals or experiences and things like that. And then actually there, we are partnering with them for a completely hosted stay this summer when we go back with the kids. And so, you know, it's a win-win for them as well, because then they, you know, are getting content that they can share on their channels as well to get more exposure, especially as a family, because, you know, there's so many like influencers out there who are like single people or couples, but there's not honestly as many families doing the luxury travel, and especially not doing it, you know, the way we do it with points and miles. So I think a lot of, you know, hotels are interested in getting that family perspective to kind of appeal to that crowd more.
And honestly, you know, with the whole, you know, travel blogging field, you know, there's like, there's an easy entry, you know, but sometimes the motivations are what will decide, you know, because it's a lot of work, you know, it's not just, you know, getting someplace there and taking pictures. I think, you know, when we started, the goal was to, you know, go through the experiences and share those experiences with other families, you know, so that they can kind of know what to expect, you know, because again, in the US, what the average time that people get, you know, vacation is what, 2 weeks, you know, so for most people, you know, wherever they go, they want to make sure they get the most bang for it, you know, so the goal was from the beginning, sharing with families, you know, that it's possible to travel, this is what we did, this is how we got there, this is where you can stay, this is what you can do, and this is what you can expect. So we stayed true to ourselves, you know, through that process, and, you know, eventually what started happening was, you know, hotels and brands will reach out to us, you know, and say, look, you know, we like what you did. We like how you covered everything. Would you want to come back? Would you, you know, and it's, that's where it started. You know, I'm saying this because most people want to get in the field, you know, some may be lucky, you know, within a month or two, they may get to the level of, you know, hey, you know, I'm getting rich. I'm getting a lot of opportunities, you know, but for the most part, we took the long and tenuous way, which was to, we're going to be consistent, you know, we'll share the experiences, we'll talk about the experiences, we'll show how we did it, and we just kept at it, you know. So here we are, what, 5 years, 6 years down the road, and we're still doing it.
So you started off just by doing the regular points and miles travel, getting to have these luxury experiences for free anyway, which anyone listening to this podcast can do. You don't need a blog or anything, just get some Hyatt points. Stay at a Park Hyatt, and then start producing good content around that. And so a lot of the brands and hotels that were reaching out to you, they were hotels that you stayed at already that were saying, not hey, all. Please come back?
Yeah, some not, of them.
Some of them. Not all. You know, some of them, you know, but I think what ended up happening was they looked at the blog or they saw, you know, the post, you know, they saw the videos, they saw everything that was done, and they that's what they wanted. You know, so, you know, many of them reached out. You know, it wasn't always places where we stayed at. You know, a lot of them were places that, you know, kind of reaching out. And we looked at it and, you know, decided if we were a match for us or not.
And we reach out to companies, too. It's not always them reaching out to us, too. So, like, you know, if, we, if there's somewhere we want to go, we might, you know, see if they're interested in partnering with us, too. So
talk about that pitch process. So when you are planning a destination and want to reach out to a brand, what does that process look like? Are you just researching different hotels and seeing ones that would probably fit your brand type of portfolio and then reaching out? What do you say to them?
Yes. So, you know, the first thing is to, okay, this is where we're going. Oh, this hotel, look, they've got, you know, kids amenities, you know, they look like they're suitable for families. The rooms are good. The activities, you know, because obviously when you travel with kids, your priorities kind of switch. So we see, okay, this would be a good fit. You know, we reach out to the hotel and, you know, just say, hey, look, you know, just be nice and polite. You know, we're thinking about coming this time and we feel like your hotel would be great. You know, we'd like to cover the experience and then share it with people. You know, in more cases than, you know, none, they respond by saying, hey, look, you know, that will work. You know, what are your dates? And then we'll go through the process. You know, but in other cases, if it's, you know, because some hotels have,
You get a lot of no's too.
You might also get some no's.
But yeah, I mean, you know, like, and so we email them with kind of examples of our work that we've done through other partnerships or just, you know, reviews of different hotels so they can kind of see the quality of what we would be publishing on our website and then also like what kind of content we would be sharing on our social media channels because we do photos, we do videos, we have a drone. So we sometimes get like pretty amazing drone shots. So...
And I think that's really good advice for anybody who's trying to get into this field is just start doing those things for free. You're already traveling on points and miles. Take nice photos, start an Instagram. Even if you have no followers, at least you're already starting to build that portfolio.
Be Absolutely. Consistent. And that's the one thing we kept telling people, you know why you're getting into this field for, because it's, you know, it's easy to get burned out. You know, a lot of people start it and then they just, you know, gave up on it. You know, but know why you're doing this thing for. I mean, you know, if your intent is to get free trips, there's only so, you can only get so far with it, you know, in terms of like maybe asking for hotels for things, you know. But the idea is provide value. Start there. Provide value and then things will fall in place. You know, hotels will reach out, you know, they will, you know, destinations will reach out. They will provide monetary value, you know, to cover, you know, all those things. But the start is to provide value.
Do you think that it's more important when you're pitching these hotels to have a good portfolio and to say, hey, here's our samples for videos, photos, blog articles, or do they care more about your audience size? Because you guys have a very impressive 112,000 plus audience size across Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. What do you think these brands are like really looking for?
So what we've seen happen, you know, obviously, like on part of this scenario, we were kind of lucky because hotels are what we've seen, you know, most of the hotels, you know, they're kind of rotating towards families and, you know, trying to target the Gen X, you know, and the millennials, obviously, you know. So, you know, we were in the right place in terms of the audience, you know, from what we were covering. But it's a mix of, it's a bit of both, you know, they would like to see what you can do. You know, what kind of pictures, you know, might you, you know, be bringing up? For some people, it might just be starting with Instagram. You know, not everybody has to start with the blog, but obviously the blog is permanent and it's kind of like a, this is what, you know, we'll be getting. But it's a bit of both.
And not, you know, I mean, some, although, you know, a lot of the brands, the hotels, the destinations do care about your numbers. Because, you know, when you share it, then, you know, it's going to affect how many people see it. But not all of them do. And sometimes they are more concerned about what content you're going to create that then they can use on their channels. So if that's what they're really after, it doesn't really matter how many followers you have because they just want your content that they can then share on their channel. Mm-hmm. So if you are really good at photography or videography, and then you might necessarily not need to have a huge following and you can kind of try to pitch them more that direction of like, I can create this content and then, you know, you can use it on your channel.
That's a great point as well, because so my normal format on Instagram is just me talking on videos. I don't do a lot of photos or anything, but I've had like travel gear companies reach out and say, hey, we'll send you a sample of something. Can you just record yourself doing a video of you using the gear and talking about how to use it? And so it just kind of depends on what content you're already making on Instagram. No hotels are going to reach out to me if my entire Instagram is little quote cards about how to travel hack, but maybe that'll appeal to apps or like shopping apps or something about here's how to use the shopping app. So it depends on who you want to partner with and make content that would attract that kind of brand.
And you got to start somewhere, you know.
And I'd say like for people who are, you know, wanting to start, like kind of, make sure that your channels are kind of, they're not too specific so that there's maybe other brands could see a potential for something on your channel. So like, even if you're not getting paid or sponsored to promote some product, like you could still, you know, like, I mean, we talk about Southwest Airlines all the time and they've never paid us anything to talk about them, but we just love them. And so like, you know, so other airlines might see, you know, potential like, okay, well they talk about airlines or, oh, they talk about how they love their drone. So I could see that being like a potential way for them to, you know, talk about our product too. Yes. So
just, you know, persistence and you know, where you feel like there's value. That's what I keep telling people, you know, because again, you tend to travel blog, you know, the field of travel blogging, there's a low entry point, you know, it's easy to get into it, you know, and most people, you know, who start into it, you know, they want to get the free trips, you know, but you got to know why you're doing this, you know, and you know, kind of build up the portfolio. And then from there, it becomes, you know, brands reaching out to you. It becomes, you know, that discussion of, you know, this is what our rates are. This is what we do. This is what we do. And, you know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, you know, then hopefully in another time.
Hey there, points people. Are you interested in learning some next level tips about cards, airlines, hotels, stacking, where to find award availability, and more? Check out the Patreon at patreon.com/geobreezetravel. There, you'll find recordings of all of my monthly masterclass hangouts, as well as some special bonus content. And now, we are also doing some gift card giveaways each month to some lucky Patreon members. Check out the show notes for the link to join. This week's Patreon shout-out goes out to Holly. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community.
But I would say if anybody is like new and trying to kind of get into this with a social media presence, I would say definitely do TikTok, because we did not even open a TikTok until like what, November. So it's been like a little over 6 months, and we're like almost at 90,000 followers in just that short amount of time. So there, the potential to grow on there, I feel like is just so much better. And it's just, I feel like it's just easier. I mean, we do create a lot of content on there, but Instagram, I think, is like a slower growth.
But very much business oriented, you know, so a lot of business comes through, you know, Instagram or companies.
I mean, I would definitely recommend doing both, but some people have just like blown up on TikTok, like very quickly. Whereas so, Instagram usually does take longer.
So, I mean, and obviously, you know, like if you have people who want to get into travel blogging, you know, obviously the start is, you know, go through the major social medias and make sure that you select a handle, you know, something that's consistent across your brand and something that you can keep for the long run, you know, and memorable.
For sure. And so out of all of the different cool brand partnerships that you've done so far, which one has been your favorite? Is there one that really stands out as the most fun?
Oh, we love Snowmass.
Yeah, Snowmass Colorado. So it was their tourism board. And they just like reached out to us and said that they wanted to host us to come stay. And so it was his first time skiing. It was my kid's first time skiing. I had been skiing as a kid. I used to go every year with my family, but I hadn't been since I was like probably college, maybe even high school. So it had been a really long time. And I'd been trying to convince him to go skiing for years. And he was always like, oh, black people don't ski.
I love that that's the excuse he threw out too.
Or like, I'm too tall. If I fall, it's like too far to the ground. I'm like, excuses. So when they reached out to us, and it was just like meant to be. I was like, okay, they're gonna, everything's covered fully covered trip, mm-hmm. and we went skiing and they got us a private ski instructor. It was just so much fun. So it was a blast.
In terms of like working with, tourism offices, that was incredible, and it's something that, if you like ski, or I mean, it's a year round destination, it's one destination that we really recommend people taking a look if they get that opportunity. So
that's awesome. And you guys have been featured in so many places too. So I guess real quick, do you pitch to Yahoo Finance and Reuters and all of that, or do they find you as well?
No, we had articles, and then, through articles, they picked it up. I will always tell people, with this field, it's, you tend to see, you see a lot of articles, saying such and such thing, such amount of dollars, such and such did this thing, and they pick it up and they cover it. The thing that I constantly remind people is just share your story the way you want it, the way that's authentic to you, and provide value. And then the rest will come.
I think one of the things that got us picked up by them was too, like we had shared about how we, at this point now, it's like we've saved, I think, over $500,000 in just 5 years. So we didn't used to like keep track in the beginning of like how much money it would have been and how much we spent. So then I think it was in 2016 that we started actually like keeping track of it. So since then we've saved about 500,000 by using points and miles, because we do, so many of these luxury trips that would be really, really expensive if we weren't using the points and miles. So, that's kind of like shocking for people to be like, what? A family saved 500,000? Typically it's about 100,000 a year that we save by using points a mile.
So I know you dropped so much knowledge, so many gems throughout this episode. If you had to sum up all of your advice into one points and miles tip, what would it be?
Yeah, I would say to just really try to focus on the transferable points, the transferable currencies, because that gives you the most flexibility, especially, when traveling as a family. And you're not just looking for one ticket, but you're looking for four, or sometimes five. We take my mom on a lot of trips with us too. And so you need to have a lot of options. And so like if you just, have a United card that earns you United miles, then, you're more limited to flying with United or its partners. Whereas if you have a Chase or an Amex or Capital One or Citi points that, then you can transfer those points to any of their airline or hotel partners. You just have so much more flexibility, and it just makes it so much easier to plan, because if route A doesn't work, or there's no availability with, your United miles, then okay, well, we could do this instead. And so it just really makes it a lot easier, especially when you're trying to put all the pieces together for like a big trip as a family. So.
And it kind of shields you from devaluations, which happen all the time, so.
I mean, we don't limit ourselves to just the transferable currencies. We have Hyatt cards and we have Marriott cards and all that stuff. But I would say we really do try to focus and get a lot of those ones, because it just makes it easier to plan.
Right. That's excellent advice. And speaking of great advice, can you give a shout out to somebody else on the internet that you would recommend other people follow for great points and miles content?
I know Upgraded Points is another good account that they give a lot of, good tips on how to get these really nice redemptions using points and miles. So
I love them. I really, really like their articles for best ways to use a certain type of points, best ways to use Hilton points, best ways to use Hyatt points. So excellent recommendation.
They make it really clear and easy to understand, I think.
Cool. And where can we find you on the internet?
So our website is World Travel Adventurers. There's another R in the end there, .com. And then, so we are, we're on TikTok at the same handle at World Travel Adventurers, Instagram as well, Facebook. We're pretty much on all the social channels. On Twitter, we actually had to, YouTube. We're trying to grow our YouTube channel. Yeah. So we're on YouTube too. And pretty much all the channels. So
same handle across for the most part.
But yeah, I would say we're the most socially, we're the most active on TikTok, because like on there you can post five times a day, and whereas on Instagram I think people would be really annoyed if you did that. So yeah, we've been seeing a lot of growth on there because you can respond to a question with another video, which has been kind of fun because people have had some really specific questions on how to do things and can explain more things. So
very cool. Well, thank you both so much for coming onto the show. We learned so many cool things about your Points and Miles adventures and how you get to do all these cool hotel sponsorships and different sponsorships and partnerships with travel bureaus. So thank you both for coming onto the show. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!